In truth and love, and the relationship of truth and love, which is true body, lies the answer. And this is what he understood. And this was the sublimest influence of his career, to make this understood on 51.4. So, this marvelous paragraph on 51.6, which is life power indestructible. This is truth and love now, which is life. It teems, this paragraph, with references to life with a capital L and to life with a little l, doesn't it? And the teaching in it is that life with a capital L and life with a little l are one and the same life. That life with a little l is life with a capital L. He knew that matter had no life, that real life is God, and therefore he could no more be separated from his spiritual life, capital L, which on line 14 is spelt with a little l, his spiritual life, indestructible and eternal, could no more be separated from that life than God could be extinguished. Therefore, nothing is extinguished. All is life. And this is the salvation of us all, on line 19. Because life is life, this is the salvation of us all. It's world salvation. And it is principle, line 23, itself, which is being demonstrated on line 24, to be truth and love. This is the principle, which is truth and love, which is demonstrated, and as a byproduct of that, health is restored. Of course, health is restored. The wholeness that obtains in truth and love is reflected humanly, and therefore health is restored. And it all comes to this consummate definition of being, which is the divine principle love. So all the cruelty is aimed at the physical Jesus. Is inflicted on the physical Jesus, but aimed at the divine principle love, because when this now all resolves into divine principle love, we see divine principle love as the, on the one hand, and sensuality on the other. Sensuality is now seen to be the opposite of what is meant by divine principle love. As we've come down these pages, we've been learning what spirituality really is, which separated him from sensuousness on line 28. Spirituality, unselfishness. Sensuality, selfish materialist, and hate. But it is this spirituality which heals the sick, casts out evil, and raises the dead. So the great need on 52 is to show the difference between the one and the other, to establish forever the difference. So his master was spirit, their master was matter. He served God, they served mammon. It's the difference between pure affections and carnal affections, and so on and so on. And all that sensuality, which is just the evidence of the senses, that sensuality, accepting the evidence of the senses, is the world's hatred, on line 10, of the Prince of Peace. Hatred and rejection of the principal Prince of world unity and peace. Herod and Pilate seem to be the personal enemies, but what are they really? On line 17, Herod and Pilate are error and evil. See how impersonal it all is, how scientific it all is, that not the personal Herod, the personal Pilate, any more than the personal Judas or the personal disciples or the personal Pilate. All there was to Pilate was ignorance of truth. All there was to Judas was love of salary and popularity. All there was to the disciples was, I can't remember how it went, all there is now to Herod and Pilate is error and evil. And so this man of sorrows, who knows how to separate, how to make nothing of separation, how to make nothing of suffering, how to make nothing of sorrow, because how to make nothing of sin, understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence on the one hand, and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God good on the other. And these are the two cardinal points of mind healing, which is Christian Science, and armed him with love. Love because of the all-inclusiveness of it. So when the bigot, the debauchee at the bottom of the page, the hypocrite, looks at this demonstration of truth and love, or this mind which is love, and says, a glutton, a wine bibber, and so on, what is it doing? It's simply error looking at itself, because error can only see itself. And so it says, glutton and wine bibber. Error can only see itself. On the positive side, truth can only be conscious of itself. Truth. On the positive side, the universe consists of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, conscious of itself as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. I am that I am. And so the reputation of Jesus on 53:8 was the very opposite of his character. Why? Because the divine principle and practice of Jesus were misunderstood. If the divine principle and practice of Jesus, when they are understood, the principle and the practice, not one without the other, but the principle and the practice, when they are understood, then the reputation is identical with the character. The character and the reputation are then identical. And when the principle and the practice are understood, this is being at work in divine science. There's no separation between principle and practice, between reputation and character in divine science. But to the world, with its religious sense, it was something quite different. So what are we concerned with? On the one hand, we are concerned with the world of divine science. This is the true world. And on the negative side, the world of religious sense, which is the world of a God up there and a man down here. And so mortals believed in God as humanly mighty rather than as divine, infinite love. It believes in a world of human might and worships human might instead of a world of infinite love. the world of infinite love. And so the world could not interpret aright the discomfort which Jesus inspired and the spiritual blessings which might flow from such discomfort. The world looks at the comforter, the very comforter itself, and says it's discomfort. And it is discomfort to that sense of things. So if the world can't interpret the discomfort aright, what can? Science. Science interprets the discomfort aright. This is the point. Science interprets the discomfort that the world feels. It interprets it aright. It says, this discomfort, this shock, is because of the great distance, on line 21, between the individual and truth. The individual who believes that he's an egocentric part of the whole, separate from the whole, with a mind of his own, a life of his own, a will of his own. The separation between that state of thought and truth itself is what causes the shock or the discomfort. Because in truth, the individual is none of those things. The individual lives in truth as part of truth, the true sense of part, the part that cannot be parted from any other part, which cannot be parted from the whole, truth. Now, to lay off this false sense of the individual and his separation from truth is the lifelong sacrifice. But it is goodness destroying evil, on line 24. So we are making this lifelong sacrifice of this separatist sense of individuality for what individuality really is in truth, capital T. And so Jesus bore our sins in his body, the world's sins in his body. It's just like the world's hatred of truth and love is the cross that he bore. He bore our sins. And therefore, as John the Baptist says, he's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew the mortal errors that constitute the material body. All there is to it is the world's hatred of truth and love. That's what he bore in his body, the sin of the world. He proved the nothingness. He didn't prove it. Truth and love proved the nothingness of the sin of the world, of world sin, focused in mortal body. World sin is focused in mortal body as it claims to be you, as it claims to be me, as it claims to be him, her. It's world sin brought to a focus. Therefore, let us replace it, for goodness sake, with the body of truth and love, wherein there is no sin, and wherein lies salvation. Had he shared the sinful beliefs of others, he would have been less sensitive to those beliefs. I think we said last time, as we said of Mrs. Eddy, that she could smell animal magnetism a mile off because of the sin that had been eliminated from consciousness. And so here it is, life demonstrating itself in the magnitude of the human life. Love defining itself as the amplitude of your and my pure affection, the affluence of truth vanquishing error. The world acknowledged it not, but earth received the harmony. Earth received the truth about itself That's the harmony. It received the fact that all there is to me, earth, is the infinite harmony of everything jointed, welded to everything else in truth, held in divine love. Now, who is ready to follow his teaching and example? All, sooner or later, we've all got to find ourselves in and of Christ, the true idea of God. What he's doing all this time is proving, on line 14, life, truth, and love. He's pouring life, truth, and love into empty or sin-filled human storehouses and saying all there is to body is life, truth, and love. Don't believe the evidence of the senses. And so the sick are healed and the sinning are healed and death disappears through mind, not matter. Now, so often, we haven't had many references to mind in the book yet, but so often when we've had it, we've had that feeling that mind is source, mind is origin, mind is the outpouring source. And here, it is mind which is the outpouring source of all life, truth, and love. And apparently, this is the highest proof that can be offered of divine love. So as we come up to the last page, page 55, and in the second paragraph, we come to the two terms, Christ on line 8, Christianity on line 13. Because it's all what it's all about is Christ the one, the generic one. Christianity, the all, the specific all, the body of the generic one. It's so like truth and love again. And this is it which is at work. Christ, which is Christianity, Christianity, which is Christ. The two in their wedlock, undividedness, the manhood and the womanhood of God. And this is it, which is truth's immortal idea. That relation of Christ to Christianity, that is it, which is truth's immortal idea, sweeping down the centuries. Doesn't that remind you of something which comes much later on in the textbook, that Christ's Christianity is the chain of scientific being reappearing in all ages, sweeping down the centuries, and so on. You see, that is it which is truth's immortal idea. And that is it which is, on line 18, the science of Christ. That's the science of Christ, when you see that oneness. Wherein the individual loves his neighbor as himself. He loves his universe as himself. He is his universe. He is wedded to his world, as his world really is, which is his universe. This is God's omnipotence, and this is the healing power of the divine love in what it has done and is doing for mankind. It's divine love in expression as man loving his neighbor, that is, all mankind as himself. That's divine love in expression as the science of Christ, as truth's immortal idea, as Christ's Christianity. And in its oneness, it is divine science. So whosoever layeth his earthly all on the altar of divine science, drinketh of Christ's cup now, don't have to wait for it, and as in and is endued with the spirit and power of Christian healing. The power is the power of divine science, because that's where the power lies, in the oneness of everything in and of divine science. And this is the Comforter, which shall abide with you forever. The Comforter, which is divine science. Why is it the Comforter? Why is the Comforter divine science? Because it is this with strength, come forth with strength. It's the strength of divine science, the oneness, the indivisibility of everything in divine science that is our strength. It is our strength, and it is the world's strength. And this is the teaching of Atonement and Eucharist, which now goes into practice, beginning with the chapter Marriage. All right, well, we stop it at that.
No more recording on this tape.